She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
So much NFL news happening. Owners meetings, rules changes, everybody's talking. Matt LaFleur actually talking right now. But Brian Gutekunst talked yesterday. And I feel, Chu, that we've had this conversation just about all offseason. What are you paying Jordan Love? Are you paying Jordan Love? Are you going to hold off on paying Jordan Love? Well, again, we still cannot get an answer to that for, well, what are we looking at, another 6 weeks yet? Early May is when Love can sign the extension because of a rule in the collective bargaining agreement that you can't sign two extensions within a year. So, got to wait until he signed the last extension from last year, then you can extend him going forward. But it would appear as if, yeah, this is just going to be a foregone conclusion. They're going to sign him to an extension.
Yeah. But he did say it's going to take some time, which means you ain't getting 52, bro. You ain't getting 52, bro.
Let's hear from Brian Gutekunst talking about Jordan Love and signing him to a big extension.
I mean, there's, you know, in every contract extension, draft pick, decision we make, there's a ton of risk and all that. You know, it's just part of it. At the same time, I think the nice thing about having a guy in your building for the last 4 years is you absolutely know who he is. Again, you can't, there's no guarantees that, you know, anything going forward, but we know how he's going to respond and how he's going to react and how he's going to work. And you know, instead of signing a player that has not been in your building and guaranteeing all that to him, certainly having 4 years with him, I think, gives us a lot of comfort what he's all about and how, you know, his teammates look at him and the organization looks at him. I think certainly that gives me a lot more peace than in a different situation.
So he's at peace with this extension that they're about to sign Jordan Love to.
About to? That's where you're going? About to?
Yeah.
It's going to take time, Gabe.
No, I'm telling you. What is it, May 3rd? By May 4th, this contract's going to be done.
You think so?
100%. 100%. This isn't going to take that much time. Like, what are we haggling over?
Comfort and peace made me made me think like,
millions.
This is foregone conclusion territory.
Yeah, but millions to you, me and Josh, maybe not you, but me and Josh, millions is a lot of money. Like, in the NFL, millions is nothing. Millions is pennies. Millions is nickels. We're talking about nickel and dime stuff right now in the NFL. This is a billion-dollar business.
Yeah, but they'll back the truck up, but you ain't getting the truck, too.
he might. They might. Hey, Mr. Love, I've got the truck here. Would you like that on top? Yeah, sure, just throw it in.
I'd love to drive around in one of those trucks.
A Brinks truck?
Huh?
A Brinks truck?
Yeah.
I think you would be good at it. I mean, I think you've got, you know, the wherewithal to drive something that big. Plus, I mean, it's a Brink security. You know, you're doing it security-wise. You're a big guy. I think you, being the size you are, would be a good deterrent.
And you dominate the left lane. You can go as fast as you want or as slow as you want. Really doesn't matter. What are you going to do to that thing? It's a tank.
Well, we haven't gotten there, but apparently you have big vehicle arrogance.
So why did he say it's going to take some time? I mean, what'd you say, where...
I mean, we're still like six weeks away. Yeah, like
Is not going to be done on the day he's eligible to sign.
Yeah, I'm taking the day after. What is it? May 3rd, May the 4th. He's going to be signing this extension.
No, the fact that there's no rush to get it done, this will linger. They're going to dot I's, cross T's. Now, if he was a free agent, I would say if he was a free agent going into the season, and they couldn't sign it till, would you say May 5th?
Yeah, so it's
then
early.
Then it
would
get done. But what do you say? Action spur deadlines. Deadlines spur action.
Yeah, like I don't think there's. Yeah, there's nothing. Again, I think they're just going to get this done and get it out of the way because my guess is based on whatever guaranteed money he gets, his number might go up a little bit this year, or maybe they just start it next year. I'm not quite sure how. The number is probably going to have to go up no matter what because he's going to get a signing bonus, right? So you got to make sure you got room for that. So you got to, you know, you.
I don't know. I think
The calculus for a lot of this, Chew, I think already has to be done if you want to sign another free agent, right? If you want to go out there and go bargain shopping and try to get one of these veterans out there that might be able to help a defense in transition, like, you've got to calculate in whatever Jordan Love's cap number is going to be.
Yeah, I think it would look bad on the agent if it was done on that date. And let's not forget that the agent wants his name out there while doing this contract, so dragging it on is a good thing for him. That's how you get clients. Oh, you have Jordan Love? So that's the only reason I'm saying it won't be done on that date, because it would look bad for the agent. The agent's got to maximize his...
I mean, the only thing that matters for the agent is the final number.
Yeah, but did Goody have to say that?
Well, because again, we're still 6 weeks away. Like, that's a long time.
No, I know. Not when negotiating, though.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, do you think they're talking every day? They're not talking every day.
I don't think they're talking every day. Do I think they've begun talks? Of course I think they've begun talks.
Of course they've begun. Yeah, preliminary talks. Yeah. Sure. But these things take a while.
I'm sniffing a bet between you two.
No, okay, Chewy, you can't sit here and tell me these things take a while when the two contract negotiations you have told me about have gone as follows. You were playing golf with Holmgren at the Pro Bowl. He comes up to you and goes, oh, by the way, you're not going anywhere. Yes, sir, Mr. Holmgren, you stay in Green Bay. The other contract negotiation, and again, if I'm misrepresenting any of this, feel free to stop me. Andy Reid goes, hey, Chew, what would it take? I want to be the highest paid tight end. Boom, done. Like, what do you mean these things take a while? The contract negotiations you have told me about in your career took a grand total of combined 45 seconds?
Okay, we're talking tight ends here. I mean, the most important position on the field. I mean, quarterbacks are secondary to tight ends. No, but my second one took a while because we were negotiating in the middle of the season, and I told you that's when I had the Achilles problem, was in the weight room, and they knew that, so they were using it against me. But the more games I played that season, the more my position improved, and it got to the point where, thank God for magnets, cured my Achilles, got out of the training room for 2 weeks, played pretty well, and then the deal was done. Because I had the leverage. Or I didn't have the leverage, I was gaining leverage.
Yeah.
Each game that went by.
Yeah.
I think this, Gabe, this will go right up until mini training camp.
I just think...
You want to bet?
Yeah.
Joshy.
I don't want to bet. I want you two to bet. I want to be impartial.
Based on the amount? On the amount...
Okay.
And the length of time it takes.
Wow, double bet?
I got to, you know, you, what did I say? You got to give yourself out. So if I lose one, I can always win the other. Now, if I lose both, probably ain't paying up.
Suddenly Chewy's going to go get himself a Supreme Pizza.
Yeah.
Miss a couple days after the food poisoning that comes with it.
So where are our bets at between you two? Gabe says May 5th. May 4th or May 5th? You don't really give yourself a lot of wiggle room there.
Well, because I don't know the specific... I think it's May 3rd, right? That's the first day eligible.
I'll look at the dates exactly. He mentioned it in the press conference. And then we're doing 52, Gabe thinks 52 or more, and you say 52 and under?
I'll take 51 and a half. I want 51 and a half. I'll take 51 and a half and above.
Chewy, do you agree to those terms?
Are we playing Price is Right rules, or what are we doing?
Well, I mean, the over-under is 51.5. So if it's above that, if it's 51.5 or above, I win. If it's below that, you. If we're doing Price is Right rules, then I've got to drastically change my date. Because otherwise, it happens on that date or it doesn't, and I get bypassed.
Joshy, you're too close to the situation. So we name Jason the arbiter.
Okay. I like that.
Jason is our ALJ. He'll probably like that.
What's an ALJ?
I don't know.
Something law judge. What's the A stand for?
Arbitration?
I don't know. Someone text in and tell us. I know it's ALJ, though. Been in a few...
Administrative law judge.
There you go. Thank you, Josh. You couldn't wait.
Hey.
That is Jason.
Okay, so Jason's going to be our guy that's going to be able to be our arbiter. Okay, so...
Gabe, you're saying when Goody says it'll take some time, you're giving him 5 weeks? Take some time is months.
Yeah, I mean, this guy also said Aaron Jones is going to be in the Packers in 2024, right? Like, I can't take everything he says at face value.
Good point. I heard he talked about that, too, huh?
He did. Do you want to hear that?
Yeah, we got time.
All right. Goody, yesterday, talking about Aaron Jones and how tough it was to let the Packers' former running back go.
Yeah, really tough. I mean, obviously, the business of football never stops, and those things are, you know, any player that's, you know, kind of committed to the way he has for our football team, you know, just the way, you know, he was in our locker room, and obviously a very productive player, that's always tough. But I think over time you get used to it, but it's that's just kind of the business of football. But we wish him well. He couldn't have represented us any better in his time with us, so, but very tough.
When we last talked to you, you were pretty determined that he'd be back. Mm-hmm. When did that change? How did that change?
I think just through the process of going through, obviously, we, you guys know we asked him to take a pay cut, and as we went through that process and then we kind of realized it wasn't going to probably come to fruition, then obviously we had to do what was best interest of the football team, and that's what we did.
So the interesting thing to me about that, too, is he kind of made it seem like the pay cut thing was a negotiation. I always was under the assumption that when the NFL, when an NFL team comes to you and goes, hey, we want you to take a pay cut, that it's not a negotiation. It's either you say yes to whatever the offer is or you say no when they cut you.
They had no interest in bringing him back based upon the lowball offer.
Right?
Is it more acceptable to be a liar today than it was 25 years ago? Because he lied. He flat out lied.
I think people he just lied. Got away with lies a lot more.
What, back then or today?
Back then. I think there was
why, because of social media?
Yeah, I think we just know more now, and more information gets out. And the agents have always been important, but agents definitely are moving things more than they used to, and they want their side out there, not so much just the team side. So I'm sure there's stuff that you have heard with players where the team had one story, and that was the only story that ever got out.
Yeah, you're probably right. But you don't say a guy is definitely coming back and then offer him $3 million a year. That's like, hey, I'm definitely buying Gabe's car. I'll give you $1,000 for it. Like, give me a break. Yeah.
I don't want to call him totally dishonest in this, but it seems like he thought he had more leverage over Aaron Jones than he did.
Yeah. He's going to say yes to whatever I offer him.
Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like.
Did Aaron Jones believe him? I mean, if someone says, what did he exactly say? He's definitely coming back. It's a priority for him. Because that's a bunch of crap.
Yeah. So I don't know if that was a situation where, yes, then the player who already took a pay cut, like just a straight pay cut, not a restructure, just a straight pay cut the year before, was thinking, oh, okay, he's going to take care of me. And who knows what Goody told him when he gave him the pay cut a year ago, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he's thinking, okay, he's going to take care of me, and then Goody comes with the lowball offer that they came with.
That's we don't want you.
Here,
that's
let me play. I have the old audio from when he spoke about it.
We'd love to have Aaron back. We're still kind of putting all those things together as far as how we're going to move forward. But, I mean, he was such a difference maker when he was out there this year. The way our offense was able to move, the way he, I mean, just – he changed a lot of the way we operated when he was in there and when he was healthy. I think for us, it's finding a way to keep him out there and keep him healthy. But he was, you know, not only on the field, but just, and you guys know this, you guys that have been around here. I mean, he's such an influential leader in our locker room, and he's just really kind of the heartbeat of our team. So we're certainly, that's kind of the anticipation is that he'll be back.
So I guess maybe we overplayed it because
that felt different.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, and maybe, again, hindsight being 2020 and all.
Yeah.
But I think maybe we overplayed it, Chu, because at the beginning,
I think
he says we'd love to have him back. And then at no point does he say, oh, yeah, he's definitely going to be a Packer in that clip. And that's from February 1st, by the way.
And what did he say? He said something at the very end, though. That he's misrepresenting, though.
Kind of the heartbeat of our team. So we're certainly, that's kind of the anticipation is that he'll be back.
The anticipation is that he'll be back.
Knowing that you're going to give him $3 million, come on, bro, you're lying. You're lying.
Yeah, I mean,
tell you what, Packers have been happy to sign to that total that he gave them.
As a backup, yeah.
They'd love to sign Aaron Jones to that kind of deal, I'll tell you what, man.
Yeah. So does Aaron Jones have a right to be cheesed?
I think so. Like, I don't blame Aaron Jones, and I know, again, we're relitigating this now, but when he went to Minnesota, like, oh, it made, and I get the Packers fans out of it too, right? Like, it makes it easier to root against Aaron Jones, even though he is all the things that Goody just said. Really good guy, has been a great Green Bay Packer. But I understand why he would want to go to Minnesota, A, because they probably end up giving him the most money, B, it gives him the opportunity to show the Packers, like, hey, by the way.
But it leads me to like, how many people in your lives can you really trust?
Oh, not many.
Boy, that's a deep question. That's,
well, that's, I'm just saying, you know what? That's, I mean, deep... I've been fried by friends.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I've been fried. And what's the saying? Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you.
Flip it around.
No, do it.
Fool say me it, once, so. Shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
That was close.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You just
well,
had to
there's
flip
only
it.
Two options.
Yeah. But some people in the friend circle aren't even given that. I mean, if you're in the third circle of friends and you screw me once, you're gone.
Oh,
do
yeah.
You guys subscribe to that?
Yeah, absolutely.
What about second circle?
I mean, it depends upon, you know, yeah. So again, it all depends. So it would appear that Shohei Ohtani's, you know, translator was in the, you know, first circle. The
first circle, yes.
You take $4.5 million, you're probably not getting a second chance.
In balance, though, if you're worth $1 billion, you don't get a second chance.
I think all that's come after that also makes him not second chance worthy.
I say he's not out of the circle.
Wow, you're
you
being,
think he's out?
Your circle is man. Is more accepting than I expected.
If you're in the inner circle, yes.
One of my favorite things that Homer says is about some things you can be perfect. Stealing $4.5 million should be one of those things.
What would they?
I've never done that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I have a perfect record when it comes to stealing $4.5 million. Haven't done it.
Perfect record of transferring bank funds from somebody else's account.
Yeah,
all that stuff. I'm hitting 1,000.
Yeah, you're telling me somebody breaks into your bank account. There's no way your wife would allow you to associate with a person who stole $4.5 million from you.
You're probably right. Yes, I agree.
Like, you wouldn't even be able to have them over for secret beers on Thursdays. Because it's not a secret, because you tell everybody every Thursday you do it.
Well, let me tell you what. There's a story there.
Oh, boy. Well, we don't have time.
I don't know if I could tell the story, though, because it involved meat.
Okay, I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know. I'm sure Josh is going to hear about it in the break.
I was gonna say,
I'm glad I don't have to hear it.
If Chewy's putting the brakes on something, I think it's best we move on.
When Chewy shows restraint,
yeah,
that's the time we move on to Jason Wilde as he joins us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy next.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
We have come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. Joins us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday this week, Jason, it's going to be a dude day. So welcome to Dude Tuesday.
Dude! That's awesome. Great to be with you guys.
Week.
What's up?
Yeah, so...
Dude Ranch.
Do you know what was the term you were using, Chewy?
Right now.
Yes, it's fantastic. I completely forgot the term that Chewy was using. The acronym of the judge.
Oh, ALJ. That's Jason.
Yeah. So, Jason, will you be our ALJ?
Only if you tell me what ALJ stands for.
Administrative Law Judge. So here's the deal, Jason. Ooh. Me and Gabe made a bet. Based upon Jordan Love's contract. The first part of the bet is when... Gabe is such a swell guy. He thinks the world is, like, wonderful. He thinks Jordan Love is going to sign on the day he's eligible to sign.
Yeah, or right around there, a day or two after.
So that's the one bet. So Gabe says he's going to sign on May 3rd. I said, no way, this is going to go at least till pre-training camp. And the second one was based upon money, average per year. Now, that can get kind of cloudy. That's why we're naming you the administrative law judge, because at the end of the day, you might have to say, no, 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 it's not $52 million. It's actually $49 million. Fair enough?
Okay. Yeah, I feel very confident after Goody's comments yesterday that Gabe will be losing part one of this wager.
They got 6 weeks before that, Jason.
Yes.
They got plenty of time.
And no way. Yeah.
You know what?
No, no way. So wait. Wait, did you make this? Did you make this wager in the last 26 minutes?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Uh huh.
So you heard what Goody said about the slow process and everything else.
Yeah.
And you still think it's gonna the 4th be with you ish?
Yeah. Yeah, Jason. Like, I mean, I also heard this guy tell me that Aaron Jones is going to be a member of the Green Bay Packers in 2024. Right? Like, I mean, you can't take everything he says at face value.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
So.
Yeah, I. So here's the thing, and I don't know where they'll ultimately end up, obviously, financially. Joel Corey, who retired from being an agent, I think he repped, I know he repped a bunch of guys back in Chewy's day, because I remember talking to him. He is now at CBS Sports. He does all their kind of, he's like Andrew Brandt without the repetitive stories about how he was at the beach when Aaron Rodgers' contract needed to be signed and stuff like that. He projected that Jordan Love's agents will open the negotiation at minimum at $51 million a year, surpassing the Rodgers contract that the Packers signed him to a couple of years ago, right? If that's the starting point for them, and again, he doesn't know either, but he's a lot more informed on contract negotiation than I am, so that's why I'm citing him. But if that's where they're starting, then they're acknowledging that Jordan Love should not be the new highest paid quarterback in the NFL, right? Like, they're looking at Burrow at $55 million a year average. They're looking at Lamar Jackson with a $52 million a year average. I think there's one or two other guys that are up beyond that $51 million mark per year.
Herbert. Herbert's at 52.5.
Yeah. Yep, there you go. So I thought that was really interesting that Joel felt that way, because, you know, I guess I thought that they would shoot for the moon and then, you know, kind of fall into some of the high in the sky stars and get him as much as they can. And I'm sure they will. But it makes me wonder, like, and some of the things that Goody said about how confident they are in him and he's been in their building for 4 years. I do wonder if, despite him being Goody's guy, despite all the great things they say about him, if they still are like, look, dude, we love you. We think you're going to be awesome. But right now you've played basically 10 good games. So we're not going to pay you the same amount as Lamar Jackson, who has won 2 NFL MVPs, right? Like, this, to me, this is going to be so fascinating because, and look, I'm guilty of this too. You know, Tausch gives me a hard time about liking, saying how much I like Love. I do. But I think you also do have to be honest and say, look, do I believe he's going to be a very good quarterback? I do. I believe that. I do not think he's going to suddenly backslide into Mitch Trubisky territory or what have you. But is it prudent to break the bank for him just because of how star-spangled awesome he was in the second half of last season? Like, you look at his numbers. I broke them down, you know, first 9 games, last 8 games of the regular season. And his passer rating was 80 after 9 games. He'd thrown 10 of his 11 picks. So, 18 touchdowns, 1 interception, 112.7 passer rating. in the second half of the regular season, followed by his performance against the Cowboys, in which he only threw 21 passes, but he threw three touchdowns. He had a perfect passer rating until LaFleur knuckleheadedly put him back in for that incompletion to Tucker Kraft. I'm fascinated to see how exactly you pay a guy you truly believe in, but a guy that has 10 really good games as evidence for why he should be one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league.
Jason, did Goody lie to Aaron Jones? Now, we know he has a little bit of a track record, and we went back and played his clip from February 1, I believe.
Yep.
But, but you can't – I can't go to Gabe and tell him, Gabe's selling his car. Hey, I'll definitely buy it. Gabe, I'm going to buy your car. And offer him $500 for his car when it's worth $10,000, which is essentially what they did. So does Aaron Jones have a right to be upset because he might have drank the Kool-Aid of Goody?
Yeah, all I know is, and I think he's got a new vehicle now, but based on how many times Ashton Rotman's vehicle was stolen, he could agree
now
that'd
be
car.
That would be A.J. Dillon. That would be A.J. Dillon. Yeah.
Come on. You just call A.J. Dillon a Kia?
That's not very nice.
I know.
I didn't say it was inaccurate. I just said it wasn't. Look, I understand it's a business, all the caveats that apply, right? We all know it's not show friends, it's show business, et cetera, et cetera. That said, and I kind of went on a bit of a rant yesterday when Justin Garcia was filling in for Tausch as our cousin sub of the day yesterday. I mentioned this to Balaga yesterday. He's going to be our cousin sub today, but I mentioned this to him with the Homer Hour. Like, and look, I talked to Rodgers. I talked to Devontae when this happened. They both told me the exact same story. When Jordy Nelson was released in 2018, in March of 2018, the offer that they made to him was a pay cut to 1 year, $2 million. $2
million. Yeah.
And Jordy and his wife so desperately wanted to stay here and finish his career here that he was ready to accept it. And Rodgers said, look, man, you can't take this. Like, that's just wrong. And Jordy obviously was a fantastic, still is a fantastic guy. He's just a farmer now, not an NFL player. But Devontae and Rodgers, who love him dearly, both were in the same camp on this. And I think this is similar that, you know, you have the plausible deniability of, hey, we offered him a pay cut. But, like, to take Aaron Jones from $12 million to under $4 million before incentives, I mean, I don't know what's realistic to expect of a player. Like, yeah, I would love to get Jordan Love on a contract that averages $15 million a year, right? It'd be the bargain of the century.
Jason, I've got a great way for us to get Bonds and Griffey, and it's not going to cost us that much.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm going to give the finger to Danny Tartable, too. I don't like that at all. And, again, had he not spoken, because when you're talking to the media, you know, you're not just talking to the media. Like, you're talking to your locker room, you're talking to players. And when he spoke so authoritatively about Jones being back, you know, if I'm a player and these young guys are taking this all in, right? Like, all these young guys who haven't played in the league very long, every experience that some, especially someone who they all love, I mean, all those rookies just love Aaron Jones. And so when they see that, that is the first kind of, I don't want to say awakening, but the slap of reality of, hey, man, if this guy's replaceable, we are all replaceable. Mm-hmm. And if they're going to do him dirty, we have to remember that they could do this to us too. And I just think that, you know, that's not ideal to kind of create that kind of environment. But again, I think in the end, you know, those of us that are saying, well, they shouldn't have done this, and I keep, you know, I know I upset Jen the other day, but the bottom line is that I really do believe that Aaron Jones is one of those few players that it's okay to say, all right, this guy has done enough that it'll be okay to get rid of him a year too late instead of a year too early. and there's very few people that deserve that consideration. But in this case, I just think that you have now created this kind of, I don't know if I can trust him,
yeah,
right? And if Goody had never said what he said on February 1st, at least then you'd be able to say, hey, I didn't make any promises. But the fact that he chose to say what he did and apparently was so confident that they were going to get him to take such a low number, you know, obviously has bitten him. Now, again, I think it's most likely that Aaron Jones does not have a great year in Minnesota. That who knows what the hell they're doing up there. And that Josh Jacobs is productive, and we're having this conversation a year from now going, they made the right choice. But again, I don't think what Aaron Jones does in Minnesota, just like I don't think what Jordy Nelson did in Oakland, is the same as what he would have done in Green Bay. And that'll be the issue of trying to convince people, hey, this was not the smartest idea they could have done.
Finally, Jason, I don't know if you saw this, but late last night, Tony Grossi, our teammate from Cleveland who covers the Browns for ESPN Cleveland, said, tweeted out, source, Browns will know by end of the week if they're playing in Brazil. Down to them and Packers, reps of both teams poised to visit Sao Paulo on Monday to begin operations prep. Do you think the Packers want to go to Brazil?
I don't, but did I lose my mind? Was there not a report like a week and a half ago saying that the Browns were the team and the Packers were not going to Brazil?
So it happened. One of the Browns players on a Browns, like a Cleveland Browns, like YouTube channel or show or whatever, said that they were going to Brazil, and then tried to backtrack it the next day saying, oh, I just saw the rumors, same as everybody else, yada, yada, yada. So this is the latest on that. Apparently the Packers, according to Tony Grossi, still in the running.
Okay. Well, I know my understanding is that the Packers don't want to go and the Browns do. But I think the NFL wants the Packers to go. Again, I don't know this for certain. This is just kind of the scuttlebutt that I had heard.
I think that's safe to assume, Jason, if, again, it seems like the Browns really want to go. Knowing what I know about the Packers' international travel, they wouldn't want to go. The only reason, the only reason they would be in the running is that the NFL's trying to convince them to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's very fair, and I'm sure last night at dinner at the Ritz-Carlton Grande Lakes Orlando, the commish and Mark Murphy sat down for dinner, and there was some arm twisting. If this is still a possibility, if Tony's reporting is correct, and I have no reason to think it's not, if that's the case, Mark Murphy has been, and he's coming to the end of his tenure, obviously, a very good friend to the commish. Like, when he wants ideas floated out there, Mark Murphy's the one who's floating them out there, you know, not just on WIAA State High School basketball television production. I suppose it's possible that as he comes to the end of his tenure, you know, he would say, hey, the commissioner really wants us to go. I know Goody and LaFleur don't want us to go, but, you know, I said, all right, for the good of the league, we're going to do it, and we need to handle it better than London. I suppose that's still possible, but again, that was my understanding. Whether or not that matters, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Jason, always appreciate it. Looking forward to Dude Thursday in a couple of days.
All right, dudes. I appreciate you both. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. More on Brazil and the Packers in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you that a weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks is heard straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune in to Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, who is a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world, and they're joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer your questions too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District now on Bucks.com/plus, Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Do you like your pickles warm or cold?
Want my pickle a little warm.
Warm's good.
It's better than cold.
Cold can be good, too.
Yeah, well, no, cold shrinkage gets involved. It's not great.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We thought it was over, but apparently not. Tony Grossi from ESPN Cleveland reporting that the Packers and Browns are the finalists to play the Friday Brazil game, which would be the Friday after the opening Thursday night game. And it's against the Eagles. We know the Eagles are the team that are going to be down there. Are they going to play the Browns? Are they going to play the Packers? We thought it was going to be Cleveland, but apparently the Packers are back into it. And I know Jen was driving this home, Chew, that she really wanted the Packers to go to Brazil, the green, the gold, the whole thing. But if the Packers don't want to go, because they didn't want to go and they were kind of forced to go because they're the last team that hadn't been over there, when they played in London 2 years ago,
yeah,
like it just seemed as an organization, they had zero interest in going. So if they have no interest in going here, I can't imagine they're going to handle it any differently. Maybe LaFleur doesn't say as much as he did publicly about how much he didn't want to go to London. But, and maybe it's easier at the beginning of the season because you have a couple of weeks after the end of that last preseason game before the start of the regular season. But then you're going down there, you're coming back. It's just, I don't think he wants to do it. I don't think the Packers want to do it. So I'm all the way out. I don't want the Packers playing in Brazil on a Friday night because I am terrified of how they would handle it. And, oh, by the way, because you're playing the Eagles, an NFC team, who knows what that game could mean in the standings at the end of the season?
The only reason I would say do it, because they're going to keep pressing the Packers every single year to do these international games. Would you agree? They're always going to be in the mix.
Yeah, I don't know about every year because, again, they went 2 years ago. They went in 2022.
Yes.
So that you would think that would kind of get everybody off their back for a little bit. Now, this is obviously different, and I believe the Packers are the most popular team in Brazil based mostly, I think, on their color scheme. But and maybe that's why they really want the Packers to be down there. And also, they probably want a team that can draw well nationwide, because putting an NFL game on a Friday night when there's high school football going on all around the country, I mean, it's going to rate well, but I think they really want to knock it out of the park, and they want to make sure people are staying home to watch these games.
But you don't really need fans to travel from the States because it's going to be packed anyways. The only reason I would say do it and get it out of the way is because you're the visiting team. You don't want to give up a home game to go play in London or Germany or Brazil or whatever. That's the only reason I would say do it. It's an away game. It's early in the year. You go to training camp where it's hot adjacent, and then you're going to Brazil. Is it their winter down there, though?
I don't know.
I believe it is.
All right. I'll roll with you on that. If you say it is, I'll believe
you. So, yeah, I mean, do I want him to go?
Yeah, doesn't that
do I want him to go?
Way?
No, not really. But the fact that it is an away game. And I'm surprised Philly isn't complaining more about this, which would lead me to believe that the league, do you think they kick money to the owner and say, hey, $10 million, do it? They have an owner. Green Bay doesn't care because there's no owner.
Yeah, it just goes into the kitty.
Full.
That's a great question. That's a great question for Shefty tomorrow, because he would know, okay. I would think, a little bit more about that. By the way, Brazil's winter is Thursday, June 20th through Sunday, September 22nd. So, yes, this would technically be a part of Brazil's winter.
A part of me says just knock it out. And you, obviously it sounds negotiable with Goodell. Say, hey, we'll do this. Don't bother me for 15 years. Don't bother me. Leave me alone. And see what he says.
Yeah,
I mean, it would be a great game, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Right out of the gates, 100%. Philly, one of the top teams in the NFC against Green Bay, predicted to be one of the top teams in the NFC.
No, it's an
pretty
easy
matchup.
It's an easy sell, Chew. Again, I'm just concerned about how they handle it as an organization, given how they handled the last time they traveled internationally.
See, the players, Gabe, I would think would want to go. We loved traveling when we went to Japan. Was great because it breaks up the monotony.
Yeah, but it's early in the season. It's not really breaking anything up.
Yeah. See, how we looked at when we went to Japan for the preseason game was, look, it's in the middle of training camp. You're going to have a day of travel there and a day of travel back. They got to give. So we looked at it more as time off.
Sure.
I'm serious. That's how we looked at it.
Well, yeah, but also you were, going through 2 days, sometimes 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. The league's a little different, but I would love to go to Brazil. Wouldn't you love to go to Brazil?
Sure. I don't know. On the list of
Gabe,
places,
have you ever left the state of Wisconsin? Brazil's pretty. I would think's pretty cool.
On the list of places that I want to travel internationally, Brazil's not high on my list.
I don't know. There's an unknown there.
I think that's the kind of maybe that's the part that I'm a little.
Joshy, would you want to go to Brazil? Wow, you guys are homebodies. No?
I mean, half a cup, but also, yeah.
You can golf down there? Yeah,
can
you
I?
You golfed in Brazil?
I mean, Brazil isn't known as a golf state. It's in a golf nation.
Good point. You get a waxing? Get waxed? No. A little Brazilian wax?
Yeah, I knew what you were going for. No, thank you.
A butt lift, too.
A butt lift?
All right.
Oh, they do put those things in their butt, right?
All
some
right.
Brazilian butt lift.
No. The like an implant in your butt. We were talking about this the other day with my buddies, the Inner Circle buddies. How uncomfortable would that to have an implant like boobs in your butt and sit down? Wouldn't that feel weird?
As far as I know it's just moving fat from one portion of the body into your cheeks.
Oh, so it's not silicone?
I believe they probably do that, but I don't think that's the process that's most famous.
Okay.
BBLs. Learn about them on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Weekdays. 7 to 9.
We get to our grievances, and somehow this isn't on the list. Our grievance bracket, we reveal another matchup. Coming up next, it's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The big hurt.
I heard that's like, eh.
Ron and the Keywagon say, you guys should slow down before you take on a sponsor.
Here I am.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Everyday grievance bracket that we've been doing here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We had randomly assigned 32 people to the 32 grievances that we had in our four different regions. Started the contest yesterday. Of course, whoever ends up winning this will get a Jen, Gabe, and Chewy hoodie. Did get an official statement from one of our contestants here on the talk and text line. From Jesse in Madison. Would like to thank ESPN Milwaukee, but as a 3 seed, we could have done better. This is on me. Next year, we will come back even stronger. Just to kind of give you an idea of how some of the seeds and the matchups went yesterday. So yesterday, we had the number 1 seed of waiting for a seat when there's an empty table versus the 8 seed of when the Crab Benedict is $65. That has gone final. Number 1 seed getting over 80% of the votes. Moving on.
What was the number 1?
Waiting for a seat when there are empty tables.
Okay.
The second matchup was the 3 seed waiting on your waiter versus the number 6 seed, tip included, but not mentioned. And we had the upset there, as we just heard, with tip included, no mention, 54.3% of the votes. So they are moving on. And it appears that the 2 seed is gone as well. Waiter doesn't write down the order versus 7 seed, one person waiting for food. Everybody else has their 74% saying one person waiting for food. Definitely more annoying. So that is moving on as well. So we've got to unveil our last matchup in our dining region, Chew. Again, these are going to be available for you to vote on at Jen Gabe Chewy on Twitter. This is the 4-5 matchup. The number 4 seed, loud talking at a nearby table. So somebody who just does not have the spatial awareness and they are talking way too loud. You can hear every word that they are saying. Taking on the 5 seed of the order needs to be sent back.
I think it's going to wind up 5 versus 6.
coming down all the way to the final in the dining region? You think it's going to be the order needs to get sent back versus tip included, no mention?
I don't send orders back.
Yeah, either do I.
Josh?
I've eaten the wrong food.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So much so that I refuse to send something back.
Have you really?
The only, and some, most times I don't even mention it. I'll mention it to the people at the table, but to the waiter or the waitress. But I'll just eat it and be happy with it, unless like they're charging me more for something. Like they went back and corrected it. I'd be like, yeah. No, I actually ordered this, but you sent me it. So
yeah.
I just kind of lived
think,
with it.
I think it's totally different with women. I do. Because let me tell you why. I went to my in-laws live in St. Augustine.
Yeah.
This was about 4 years ago. Went out to dinner, right? The waiter was horrible. Horrible. Now, we all know Angie has no filter.
We're aware. Angie, your wife, yep.
Comes from her dad.
Okay.
Zero filter. So we're coming towards the end of the meal, and my father-in-law looks at the waiter and says, "You know what? You suck." And I'm like, okay.
Whoa.
So there was a little bit of banter back and forth, and then the waiter goes, "Who wants dessert?" All the women said they wanted dessert. There would be no way in hell. After my father-in-law said, "You suck," would I eat anything else from that restaurant?
I wouldn't show my face in that restaurant ever again.
I never did. Never I mean, did. But they all ate their dessert, and I'm like, oh, my God, what the hell is in their dessert? Because, you know, it's coming out with something in it.
Chewy, you asked the very deep question earlier of how many people can you truly trust. I don't know. I haven't arrived at the answer of how many people I truly trust yet. But I do know the answer, and on the list of people I truly cannot trust is a waiter I just told that sucked. Can't trust that person. And that's
totally
on me.
Agree. Yeah. So I think it's different from women to men when it goes to sending their food back.
I mean, most of the time I'm just hungry enough, like, okay, you brought me, I ordered a burger, you brought me a chicken sandwich, whatever. I'll eat the chicken sandwich. I'll be fine. It's just one meal. The Packers over under for wins is out. Too many? Too low? Just right? We dive into that coming up next. 2 minutes, Jen, give it to you.